Translation. Because of falling into the well, I met you. Indeed, this has been arranged by Providence. After I cursed Kacha, the son of the learned scholar Brihaspati, he cursed me by saying that I would not have a Brahman for a husband. Therefore, mighty armed one, there is no possibility of my becoming the wife of a Brahman. In response, please. Because of falling into the well, I met you. Indeed, this has been arranged by Providence. After I cursed Kacha, the son of the learned scholar Brihaspati, he cursed me by saying that I would not have a Brahman for a husband. Therefore, almighty armed one, there is no possibility of my becoming the wife of a Brahman. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Kacha, the son of the learned celestial priest, Brihaspati, had been a student of Shukracharya, from whom he had learnt the art of reviving man, a man who has died untimely. This art, called Mritya Sanjeevani, was especially used during wartime. When there was a war, soldiers would certainly die untimely, but if a soldier's body was intact, he could be brought to life again by this art of Mritya Sanjeevani. This art was known to Shukracharya and many others, and Kacha, the son of Brihaspati, became Shukracharya's student to learn it. Devayani desired to have Kacha as her husband, but Kacha out of regard for Shukracharya, looked upon the Guru's daughter as a respectable superior and therefore refused to marry her. Devayani angrily cursed Kacha by saying that although he had learned the art of Mritya Sanjeevani from her father, it would be useless. When cursed in this way, Kacha retaliated by cursing Devayani never to have a husband who was a Brahman. Because Devayani liked Yayati, who was a Kshatriya, she requested him to accept her as his bona fide wife. Although this would be Pratiloma Vivaha, a marriage between the daughter of a high family and the son of a lower family, she explained that this arrangement was made by Providence. Om Ganti Mirandasya Garantina Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Karun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagadpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Rishavanu Sute Devi Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So when I was first reading this, I was just thinking that this is the material world in action in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Although we're unfortunate in one respect to take birth in the Kali Yuga, I'm not sure whether this is the beginning of the Kali Yuga, but probably a more prosperous age spiritually than this age, but we can see that, you know, what a difficult situation, what a risky situation. You know, we set off with the beginning of the chapter, and King Nahusha, he fancies Indra's wife, and so there's a relationship. And of course the sages find out, and they curse him to take birth as a, what was it? As a python. And so Yati is his eldest son, and he thinks, this is too much of a risky business. It's taking a king's post, it's, you know, he thinks, I'll just renounce everything. And so, but Yayati is a little bit more materialistic, so he accepts the throne. So that's one particular, beginning of one particular pastime in here. And then on the other hand, we have Shukracharya, who was training Kacha in the art of Mritya Sanjeevani. And Devahuti takes a liking to Kacha. And so he's in a difficult situation. You know, the laws in the Vedic times are so strict, and you have to be very careful. And so she asks him to become her husband. And he's thinking, which is the worst of two evils here? Do I insult Shukracharya, who's my spiritual master, and this is his daughter, so, you know, it's not right that a pupil should marry a Brahmin's daughter. And he probably knows on the other hand that it's very risky if I decide not to marry. So he makes a choice. And immediately Devayani, Shukracharya's daughter, is not pleased. So actually he gets off very lightly. Kacha gets off very lightly. He's just cursed that all that you've learned, it won't actually take effect. You know, it still keeps the same body. And so then Kacha, he's really upset about that. He spent a lot of time, you know, learning this science. And then just in a stroke, he's lost it all. So, you know, he also becomes disturbed and he curses back. Very nasty curse. You know, for a Brahmin, a Brahmin's daughter, she can only really marry another Brahmin's son. And so the curse is that you can't marry a Brahmin. So that's a pretty nasty curse. And of course, in due course of time, by the will of Providence, Devayani says that she fights with Sharmista over having the wrong clothes. She gets thrown into a well. And then now we come to the point where Maharaj Yati comes along. And so although there's two kinds of marriage, one is called Pratiloma and one is called Anuloma. And so Devayani realizes a difficult situation, you know, by the curse she can't get married only to somebody of a lower caste, so there's this perfect opportunity. What better opportunity than a king, a very elevated soul? So she also likes him and she asks to become his wife. And so Yayati accepts that. But then, you know, as we go through with this, more cursing and counter-cursing. That what's next? That Sharmista, after being thrown into the well, Devayani, she goes to a father, Shukracharya, and Shukracharya is very upset. So he goes to the father of Vishaprava, the father of Sharmista. But Vishaprava is very, very apologetic. He said, to counteract this, you know, bad action of my daughter Sharmista, she can become the servant of Devayani. So which seems like that seems fairly reasonable. And so, but then when Devayani marries Yayati, she has a son, and naturally the maidservant becomes a little bit envious. She would also like a son. And so she approaches the king. And it's a king's duty to, you know, not to refuse any female who approaches him. So what does he do in that situation? Another catch-22 situation. He knows that if Devayani finds out, you know, and her father's Shukracharya, it's very risky. But then if he refuses Sharmistra, he'll get a curse from Sharmistra. So Yati was very intelligent. He just renounced everything. And so he goes on the side of, well, you know, there's no greater wrath than a woman's wrath, is there, when she's really upset. So he decides to marry her. And then when Devayani finds out, she's really upset. So she goes to her father, Shukracharya. This is what he was dreading, actually. And Shukracharya, he curses him to become an old man in his youth. So then he's still, you know, very lusty, and so he asks his sons, and eventually Puru takes his... Puru, poor Puru, you know, he's got youth, and his father asks him to take his old age. So this is the nature of the material world. Most of these pastimes we've just heard, the individual wasn't particularly looking for any difficulty. But, you know, the nature of the material world is difficulty comes along at most unexpected time. So what's the nature of this material world? It's described in Bhagavad Gita, Matra Sparshasta Kontiya, Shitoshna Shukadukada, Agamapieno Nityastam Sitikshas Vibharat, that it's going to be difficult, there's going to be reverses. And so, you know, a sober person, one who's intelligent, he'll not become tied up in these things. Just like this pastime. These different souls have become so tied up in the situation, in the present, and the difficulty they've been put into. But because they reacted, the situation escalated. So Bhagavad Gita tells us not to become entrapped in that mentality. Whatever happens to us in that particular situation, we should tolerate. We don't make things worse. And what else when we tolerate? We're able to step back from the situation. If we become caught up, we're immediately in this situation and we become bewildered. Just like we see two people arguing. Sometimes they think, why are they arguing over such a stupid thing? It's not worth it. Is that right? Anybody notice that? But then if you start listening to the argument for any length of time, you'll start hearing different sides of the story, and then you'll start to take one side, and you'll become involved. Under all costs, the devotee has to learn to tolerate. I was thinking there's one... What's an equivalent to tolerate? What's an equivalent quality? Almost equivalent. Hey? Restraining. It really comes forbearing. I was thinking it just comes after tolerating. When you tolerate, it means you bite your lip, or by higher knowledge you can understand the situation. But actually, you forgive the person. Isn't it? That's the next thing. Okay, what's happened? Let me tolerate. Let me forgive. So actually, this is very important. In this pastime, there's nobody forgiving one another. Everybody is really getting tied up in the situation, and they're letting the full wrath on the other person. So this just increases materialistic life. We see now in the material world there's so many wars going off. You go to Northern Ireland, occasionally I go there, and from nearly 45 years ago, they've got pictures of what went on at that time, just to remind people not to let people off easy, you know. That's all it means. This is what's happened in the past. Don't forget. And there are these billboards here to remind you. And so there's that, you know, there's a certain tension there all the time. It's not so bad at the moment. But in due course of time, because of this propaganda, it'll come again. And this is what happens to a person who allows the heart to become contaminated by resentment and anger over a situation. That means the heart becomes polluted. And does it get any better? Will your resentment go away? I remember from my own experience when I was, before I joined the movement, even it's like, how long ago? It's like 45 years ago nearly. And some stupid little thing, many things come back actually. Probably you all have that same experience. Sometimes there's flashes from the past. And you know, you can feel the anger inside if you really meditate on it. You know, I used to play cricket. And I thought it was all right, you know, I thought, not a bad player. I'm good enough for this side anyway. But the team captain, for some reason, he didn't like me. And that was my excuse anyway. And so, you know, sometimes I wasn't in the team. And, you know, it really went deep into my heart. It was my favourite sport. And he put somebody else in who weren't as good. You know what I mean? And so, you know, for a long time it really burnt. And, you know, for years and years and years I forgot. But every so often it crops up. You know what I mean? And it's like, oh, wait a minute. So, yeah, this it's very dangerous, actually. This is how we become degraded. This is how we go, you know, just by not catching things at the right time. You know, the mind becomes attached to that way of thinking. And unless we have good association and good sadhana, then the mind becomes attached a little more and it becomes a vengeful, we become vengeful. This is why in the shastras, it's not just in the Vaishnava shastras, but in all of the shastras of the world, they really emphasize this forgiveness. Like Jesus Christ, he was on the cross being crucified. And what did he say? Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. But he was on a high platform, he had knowledge. But maybe in devotional service, we can't always appreciate our philosophy. What is our philosophy regarding this? It's that, you know, it's our karma, isn't it? And even if we're a devotee, then it's Krishna's mercy. Whatever situation we put into, then that's Krishna's mercy. Here we find Sharmista. She couldn't appreciate Krishna's mercy earlier on. But then she came to a point where she was thrown into a well. She was thrown into a very difficult situation. So in devotional service, that's what usually happens. If things are always even, Stephen, you know, then we tend to forget Krishna. But she was put into a very difficult situation. It really woke her up. You know, she was going to lose her life. And then Maharaj Yati came along. And then she could understand, maybe this is the will of Providence. Is there any other pastime where that happens? There's King Satyavrata. You know, he finds this little fish. And then all of a sudden the fish outgrows his palm. So he puts it in a pot. And then his pot's plenty big enough, but then within no time the pot's full. And then he starts thinking, this is an unusual fish. And then he takes it out of the pot and he puts it in a pond, and within a few seconds, you know, it's the full size of the pond. And then he starts thinking, wait a minute. And he starts, after some time, he starts to realise, actually this is not a normal incident. This must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So actually that's what happens in devotional service. It's happening to everybody to some degree. Krishna's trying to be the super soul, reminding everybody. But usually it's very indirect, it's very gross. But for a devotee it's more subtle. A devotee is more refined in his intelligence and his consciousness. So Krishna's always putting us into a situation like this, where we have to be really introspective and control our natural tendency. And what we were saying about tolerating, when we can control that natural tendency, then automatically we get realization. We can understand the situation. We can understand where we've been how we've been bewildered, and we can do something about it. So in the 14th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it makes this point that a devotee is not interested in enjoying this world, because this anger comes from what? Jayato vishayam punksha, sangat teshuva jayate, sangat san jayata jayate karma, karma krodha vijayate. That just the desire to enjoy is a problem. In the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says in one purport, he's talking about how the desire to enjoy is never satisfied. It's actually called lust. It's just like a fire. Is it ever satisfied? Is it ever quenched by giving it fuel? No, it becomes bigger. So this desire to enjoy is the cause of all our problems. And from that then this anger and so many other lower qualities develop. Jayato vishayam pumsha, sangat teshuva jayate. Sangat san jayate karma, karma krodha vijayate. And then the next verse is explaining that from this anger we become bewildered, we forget our real position, memory is lost, then intelligence, the ability of the intelligence to see the situation properly is also lost. And then we just become caught up in a materialistic mentality. So this is why it's so important for a devotee to meditate on this, controlling the desire to enjoy any particular situation. because then we don't see Krishna in the situation. But what about... maybe quite often it's very difficult to see Krishna in the situation, be Krishna conscious. And as we were saying, even the other religions of the world, they say we should be forgiving. So why is it that we find it difficult to forgive? What's that? False ego. That's the, false ego is the ultimate answer, that, we're caught up in a wrong situation. But, if we're honest, a lot of the time we may be on the false ego platform. Is that right? Look at Haridas Thakur. When we hear these pastimes of great souls and how they acted in difficult situations, then we see Haridas Thakur, he was flogged in 22 marketplaces. And in the 21 marketplaces anyway. In the 21st, his executioners had realized that actually he's not going to die. 22 marketplaces being beaten by big strong men, not just one, until they're completely wiped out. Then they go to the next marketplace. I can just branch off a little bit here. And when I was in Manchester, there was one devotee there who was telling me about... We got talking about corporal punishment, just like Haridas Thakur. Actually, it was capital punishment, but it was shown as corporal punishment. And he was saying, has everybody heard of the Isle of Man? Isle of Man. Does anybody know where it is? It's in between Ireland and England. And there, they have some... I don't know whether they've still got these laws, but at one time in England and all over the world, there was, corporal punishment for minor crimes. They couldn't be bothered taking it to a court and really... they just used to punish you there and then, a quick punishment, a bit of pain, and it was over. So in the Isle of Man... they had this medieval law, and they'd never actually relinquished it, and they kept it on when everybody else had given theirs up. Has anybody heard of the birch? It's the birch tree. It's got very willowy sticks and branches, and so the birch, it's like three of these which gradually taper off, and they wrap them together at the thick end. And for minor incidents, they give you some birch. So his uncle was on holiday in the Isle of Man. And he was a bit of a rascal, he misbehaved. And so they sentenced him to one lash of the birch. And he said, he told his nephew, he says, after that one lash, I was a completely changed man. So we can understand what Haridas Thakur was going through. So when we hear these pastimes, it's inspiring. But it doesn't seem to change the heart, does it? Still, you know, we carry on in the same old way. So why is that? Why do we carry on in the same old way? This is the original question. Maybe I can think of one thing. Can you think of any? Stubborn. Yeah, we're stubborn. But even if we're not so... Yeah, stubborn. Even if we're not so stubborn. I was thinking of two things, actually. Oh, this is Haridas Thakur, isn't it? You know, he's on the highest platform. And this is not for me. This is for Haridas Thakur. We're not expected to forgive like that. And in this way, we carry on in the same way. But why is it in the Bhagavatam? It's for our benefit. We're supposed to follow in the footsteps of Haridas Thakur. And then there's... What other reason could there be? Eh? Habits? We're habituated to doing the wrong thing? Eh? Sorry, I still think I'm a bit... Okay. Yeah, we don't realize that we get, you know, it's a law of karma. We've said that one, yeah. I know what it could be, actually. The one thing is that this process of devotional service, it's so powerful, isn't it? You know, what's that verse? I can't remember. There's one verse. It's talking about that just chanting the holy name of the Lord once, it can free one from more sins than one's able to commit. Yomam Pashyati Sat. No, that's not it. Namo Hi Yavati Shakti. Namo Hi Narahane Para. Narahane. Tasha. What is it? Patakam Pataki Naraha. Yeah, just chanting the holy name of the wall. This process of chanting and this process of devotional service is so powerful that we just have to keep practicing it and eventually we'll become free from all these bad qualities. Is that right? Well, what is the process of devotional service? The process of devotional service is that we make an effort to purify ourselves. You know, Trinada Pisanichena, Tarara Pisahishnana, Amanina Manadena, Kirtanya Sadahari. You know, this is not just for the... Is that a verse for the elevated devotees or for the neophyte devotees? In other words, we should endeavour to be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige. We should endeavour to develop these good qualities. You know, there's even... We're devotees... But there's also, in material life, we can see examples how people can apply this forgiveness in any situation. There was one case in America where one mother, she was in the house and a 16-year-old daughter, and there was a knock at the door. And when she went to the door, there was a 16-year-old boy there. And she invited him in, and she obviously knew the daughter, so they started arguing like anything. And it really got heated, so he went in the kitchen, and he took out a carving knife, and he stabbed the daughter to death in front of the mother. And the mother at that point said, it completely changed my life. Not the way we may think. And she actually developed, she wanted to protect this boy. She developed some strong compassion in the heart. And so 1 year later they were in court, and she was frightened actually that he'd get the death sentence. I don't know what age it is in America, but he got 38 years imprisonment without any remission. And she was allowed to speak last. She was the mother of the daughter who died. And so in court she was thinking, the actual official said, whatever you do, don't speak to this person. You're not allowed to speak to him. You just, you know, say what you think, and then you sit down. And so she was delivering a speech to the court, and then she was thinking, this is my last chance to actually be compassionate to this, to give this boy a chance, you know, to turn him around. And so she, halfway through when she was speaking, she looked at him, and he was still angry from the incident, you know, he was really disturbed. And she said, I'm not angry at what you've done. She says, but I'm very, very disturbed. She says, but I'll pray to God that, you know, you can turn your life around and you can become, you know, better situated. So this is a person who not necessarily understands Vaishnava philosophy. Somehow or other she developed that ability to forgive. So do we have to forgive anything like that? Very rarely. And yet, you know, if we don't learn this art of letting people off the hook, you know, okay, it's done with. It's not a matter of the relationship between you and that person, is it? Really? It's nothing to do with it. This is just the interactions of the modes of material nature. These situations are a chance to develop our relationship with Krishna. But while ever we don't, you know, give up this resentment, then it's difficult to perform devotional service. I haven't got the verses here, but Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, he's very, very satisfied when somebody greets another person with tolerance, this is the same as forgiveness, mercy and equanimity. You know, forgiveness is the quality of the Brahmins. It really pleases Krishna. All the way we go through the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look at all the pastimes, it's all forgiving, isn't it? You know, King Indra, at the end of the Govardhan Leela, he had to go and apologize, ask for forgiveness. Krishna forgave him. Then Indra again, when he... what was that one now? He tried to steal the horse from Prithu's... He won his 99th sacrifice. And Indra thought, if he gets 100... I might be out of a job. And so he dressed himself as a sannyasi, and he stole the horse. And of course they caught Indra. But then Indra realized, you know, at some point he came round and he went to Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu brought Indra before Prithu Maharaj. He said, this is Indra. He stole the 100th horse out of your sacrifice. Please forgive him. So when we forgive, then what happens is that everything starts to escalate. Devotional service is actually practical and possible. But when we carry this resentment in the heart, then everything goes the other way. Everything degenerates. So for the benefit of ourselves and the benefit of the movement, we have to let bygones be bygones. We have to, you know, treat everybody with proper respect. So many things may happen, but what can we do about it? You know, it's gone forever. He said, there's one saying by one, there's one materialistic saying that forgiveness releases one from all hope for a better past. We can't change the past. We can't make it better. Anyway, this is a few words about this quality which came to mind when I was reading this pastime, that there's so many tit-for-tat and everything's just going from one bad to worse. And the only way it can be reversed if somebody along the line says, okay, you know, I'm not really worried about this situation. Let me make the situation best and let me purify my own heart so I can actually make progress in devotional service. So these are a few comments on this particular verse. You can stop there. Does anybody have any comments or questions?